I've got one for you. What did Adam say to his wife on the 24th of December? You got it. It's Christmas Eve. Welcome to this Christmas Eve. Welcome to this Christmas Eve Sunday worship service. It's good to see each and every one of you here. I'm one for looking at Christmas jumpers. I always look out for what the design, what the message is there. So if you see me looking at you, I'm not staring. I'm reading your Christmas jumper. It's good to see every one of us. And you see, scripture says when the wise men from the east saw him, they worshipped him. And how I pray that you find the off button on your phone. I pray that as we come into the presence of God, we lay as the wise men did, our gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We lay down our most precious before the Lord as we worship him. And I invite us to that wisdom of worshiping the Lord. Today's songs, hymns, are of course Christmassy, as we worship the Lord Jesus Christ, as we look forward to celebrating his birth. We already are celebrating his birth. And so I invite us to gather our thoughts and our minds in prayer as we begin this service. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come in faith and we come in trust that where two or three are gathered in your name, your word says, there in the midst of them you are. Lord, you are in our midst, you are among us. And as we come in worship, in praise, as we come in prayer and in fellowship, we come in trust that you are speaking to us, you are living through us, you are ministering to us, you are guiding us. And for that we are grateful and thankful. Be with us through this service in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. We hand over to the worship team and we will have readings thereafter.
So this morning I thought, let's sing Christmas carols, because I think we don't get to sing it again till next year. So we might as well just make use of the time we've got to sing all those carols that we love to sing. Let's start by singing Silent Night, Holy Night, and we'll follow up with more carols as well.
Yeah.
Jesus was Lord at the birth, but he came to die on the cross and be born in a manger for us because he loved us so much. Sometimes it just boggles my mind to think how God can come to earth just because he loved us so much, to take the form, to be born in a manger for us. That shows how much he loved us. He loves us. And he continues to care for his people. And all the shepherds and the wise men went and bowed before Christ. O come, all ye faithful. O come, let us adore him.
Thank you.
For this morning, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your birth on this earth for us. Lord, you gave your only Son to be born on this earth just because you loved us so much. Lord, as we look back, and Lord, on this day, as we reflect on that love, Lord, we are so blessed, we are so privileged to know you as our Lord and Savior. Lord, thank you for the joy that you have given in our hearts. Lord, thank you for the freedom that is in us, for the grace that you've given us. For Lord, the many blessings that you have showered on our lives. Lord, this Christmas, as we celebrate your birth again and as we reflect on that love, Lord, help us to celebrate it in the true sense and in the true meaning. Lord, we pray for the world out there, Lord, who celebrate it without really understanding the meaning of it. Lord, I pray that you will provide opportunities for them to be touched and, Lord, be transformed and, Lord, to know you as their Savior. Lord, that in all the celebrations and all that which happens, Lord, today, tomorrow, and in the coming week, that they will know that you were born for them and that your love is so profound. Lord, help them to understand that. Lord, help them to encounter you in a special way this Christmas. Amen.
It was lovely to see the church full on our candlelight service. Wouldn't it be lovely if some of those people joined us today and every Sunday? It would be lovely. And that we're not going to put so many chairs back, so hopefully they will come. And there will be a service next Sunday as normal. The first of our activities in the new year will be the 50 plus lunch, which is on the 8th of January. Our care group starts back on the 12th of January, so if you feel you want to join us, do come. We do have a laugh as well. We really sort of dig into the Bible, but we do have great conversations and good laugh and friendship. The art and craft is on the 5th. Oh, they're back early. They're on the 5th. So if you feel you might get some craft for Christmas, mightn't you? So if you want to join them on the 5th at 1 o'clock, yeah, that'd be good. Even if you do some craft, join them, because they chat a lot as well. And they have nice biscuits, because I've turned up once and they have some nice biscuits. Palani can vouch for that, I'm sure.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
He doesn't do craft, but he often turns up. I wonder why. Our first reading today is from John 3, verses 16 to 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his Son, his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God, one and only Son. Amen. And Pauline's going to bring another reading.
The second reading is from 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 10. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. It is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfection disappears. Amen.
And yes, I can vouch for the biscuits, and I can vouch for the tea and coffee. We reflected through the past weeks on hope, on peace, on joy, and today we reflect on love. These are the themes that we reflect on as Christian faith, as the church historically, traditionally, leading up to Christmas time. I read somewhere that in the last 100 years, there's been over 100 million songs written about love, or where love is the theme somewhere. And someone more clever than me estimates that round about 67% of all songs written since the 1960s, they have love as the theme. And if you can imagine how much money the music industry is making, they go where people would like them to go. They do what sells, what it is that people are interested in. Nobody is interested in hate. Nobody is interested in anger. But people are interested in love, in caring one for another, in concern one for another. And so the ultimate message of Christmas is a message of love one for another and the love of God. The ultimate message, the ultimate thought when we exchange cards and when we exchange gifts, what we're doing is we are practicing love. We are expressing the love that we have one for another. When we are making that phone call, when we're coming together with family, we are expressing, we are putting into practice the love and the care that we have one for another. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, where we just read, that if I speak in tongues of men and tongues of angels, in other words, doesn't matter how articulate or how holy I speak, I may say the best prayer and read the best poem and the best passage, I may sound as holy as I can, tongues of angels, but if I have no love, it doesn't mean anything. I'm like a sounding cymbal. Even if I prophesy and understand mysteries, even though I have knowledge and expertise, even though I can learn and get all the knowledge I can, but if I have no love one for another and the love of God, I am, as it were, a clanging cymbal. If I have faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. That's very powerful, isn't it? He says, I am nothing. As though he says, no matter how accomplished I am, my accomplishments do not mean much if there is no love in my heart. Doesn't matter how much I gain, that I may boast. If I do not have love, I gain nothing. I invite us then to look at verses 4 to 7 in the view of that, as it were, as an instruction, as an instructive passage, that the Apostle Paul says, love is kind. And we say, I need to be kind. Those are strong words to say in such times when we come together with family. Because sometimes we come together with family that we haven't met. I met my family late in the week and we did our Christmas thing. And you realize that you enjoy and have fun. And then the chances of stepping on each other's toes, they rather increase when you are together and you're not WhatsApping and phoning each other. When you're not emailing and sending each other messages. And the instructive passage there for Paul is, love is patient. Be patient with one another. They say, I saw a bumper sticker that say, a dog is not just for Christmas. And I say, love is not just for Christmas. Love one another, be patient one with another, not just for Christmas, but what a time to begin. I was saying to someone earlier, as we began the service, that I've made my New Year's resolution. I'm not going to tell you what it is, otherwise you'll hold me to it. Love is not just for New Year's resolution. Love is not just for Christmas. But love one another. Be patient one with another. Love is kind. Be kind to each other. Be kind to those who may not necessarily seem to deserve your kindness. Who may not even be kind back to you. Be kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It does not sit around the table and say what my accomplishments are. In a boastful manner. But love glorifies God despite the accomplishments. Love is not proud. It does not dishonor others. How the Apostle Paul is inviting us to see and value other people and not to look down on anybody, not to boast about who we are or what we have or what we've accomplished. But with humility to honor others. Love is not self-seeking. We live in a world, I mentioned the other day, they say it's dog eat dog, where you seek whatever is best, you try to gain, you try to benefit. Everything is about me, me, me. Love is not self-seeking. Love is not easily angered. On that one. Love does not explode the moment someone steps on their toe, the moment someone says the wrong thing. Love does not explode. Love does say, though, that I don't like that, but it does not get easily angered. Love does not keep record of wrongs. Isn't it a wonderful time, Christmas time, maybe to put aside those differences, those wrongs that people done? They may or may not have apologized, or they may not even going to apologize. Or maybe you've agreed to disagree and said, I think I'm right, you think you are right, we agree to disagree. What an opportunity, Christmas time with family and friends and neighbors to move on from differences. Love does not keep a record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, rejoice, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. And always perseveres. Not only are we talking about love one for another, but we're talking about the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Isn't it amazing that God so loved the world that he gave his own son? He gave himself. God gave God to us. Emmanuel, God with us. God loves us so much that he gives us salvation. that he gives us his son, so that he will not keep a record of our evil, a record of our wrongdoing, so that the anger and the wrath of God will not rest on us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. When Jesus said those words, he was responding to Nicodemus. Nicodemus comes to him in the middle of the night and he says, "Master, we know you are a good teacher. Nobody can do these wonderful works that you do except they come from God. But how can I enter the kingdom? How can I see the kingdom? How can I experience the kingdom of God?" And in his response, Jesus goes on to say that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. In other words, eternal life is not just for Christmas. In other words, the life of Christ is not just for Christmas and Easter, but every day of our lives, we experience God. Every day of our lives, we experience his mercy and we experience his grace. I touched at the beginning of the service on the passage in Matthew chapter 2, where the Magi, or the wise men from the east, they come to King Herod and they say, "Where is the one who was born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and came, and we came to worship him." What wisdom to come to worship him. To come to Christ, not to gain something necessarily, not to come to Christ as a means to an end, but to come before him to worship him. They said, "We have come to worship him." And in Matthew chapter 2, I find an interesting contrast in how King Herod, the wise men, and the chief priests and the teachers, how they responded to Christ. It says that King Herod became angry, and King Herod called the Magi and he asked them the exact time. He sent them to Bethlehem and say, "Go and search for the king and come back to me." But in his mind, he had anger and he had upset. He was hostile towards Christ. He felt threatened by the fact that another king is born. He says, "I am king. Who is this king that is born?" We find that sometimes the response to Christ is that of anger. Some respond angrily. Some feel threatened by this idea of receiving Christ into their lives. Some feel threatened by the idea of worshiping. They feel like, "I've lost control. If I worship, if I pray, I'm not in control. I want to have everything in square boxes and round circles. I want everything in order. I want to be in charge. If I begin to pray and if I worship, I've lost control." Some do not come to the Lord for fear of losing control. "I want to be king of my life. I don't want another king." And then there is the chief priests. Matthew chapter 2, verse 4, verse 3 and 4. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written." The chief priests and the teachers, they respond in a religiously orderly manner. They quote scripture and the prophets, but we do not hear about the engagement of their response of worship and of prayer and of responding as the wise men did. I keep being tempted to say the three wise men, but if I say that, Juan will be quick to correct me that they were not three. It's the three gifts that they brought, but it doesn't have to be three. Anyhow, he often sort of shares that as an interesting observation. Now, the wise, not three, but the wise men that came, they came to worship. Yet the chief priests and the teachers of the law, those who had the knowledge, those who were part of the religious order, they pointed out to the order of service, they pointed out to the songs, they pointed out to the theological expositions, but they didn't take the opportunity to worship him. They pointed out to the order and the correctness of where he is supposed to be born, Bethlehem in Judea. They quoted the reference and they said, this is what the prophets have said. They knew what the prophets have said. They knew exactly what should be done, where he was to be born. But they didn't take the opportunity to worship him. Do we sometimes get caught up in our religious order? Do we get up in our religious themes, in the activities we do that we put together? Get everything right in the right way. This is how we do it as Baptists or as Methodists, or this is what we do as Presbyterians, or this is what we do as so and so. This is our order of service as a church. This is how you... some people were saying that they were going, those some of us who are not here today, they said, we're going to be away, we'll find a Baptist church and we will go in there. It's a great thing, isn't it? A Baptist church, we know, we expect the order of service to be this way. It's a good thing. In fact, when I'm away, I look out for Baptist church as well. And of course, I love to attend other churches and experience that worship in a different way. But we like the order in which things are done. And they said, this is what the prophets have said. They could quote the prophets, could sing the songs by head. I lost track of where we were in one of these. I lost track of where we were and I tried to... The chief priests and the teachers could sing even if someone lost track. They knew the song by heart. And then there is the response of the wise man who brought the gifts, and they worshipped him. They laid out the most precious thing. They were even risking, they were risking being outcasts from, because you see it says in verse 4, that when he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, so all the religious order and all the theology and everything was brought into this one sitting. And so when the wise men go on to do what they did, which is not what the religious folk were doing, they were risking religious rejection. They were risking being mugged as, you are not doing this the right way. Also, they were risking the wrath of King Herod because they were bowing down before another king when there is a king. They were also risking their precious gifts. How many times do we look at, we weigh how much of love we give out? We reduce the commitment, even the commitment to the Lord. We reduce the commitment one to another. We reduce the commitment to church even. Commitment to the body of Christ. We don't want to risk it. But the wise man, they risk the most precious of gifts. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. How I pray that as we respond to the love of God through this Christmas period, as we celebrate tomorrow, as we celebrate today, we experience the love of God and we share the love of God. and we share it abundantly. It says that God shared his love abundantly, that we may open our precious things in our hearts. Yes, that we may risk losing control, but we know that when I lose control, he takes control. I'm better off with Christ in control. I've messed up so much. I don't know if I'm the only one who's messed up so much in my life that I think it's best he takes control, because I'm only human. But he is God. He knows the future from the past. He knows today, tomorrow, and he knows everything there is about me. Even the hair on your head is numbered. He knows every single one of us. How about giving over to this love? To this love that gave himself, that he gave his only begotten son. And say, Lord, take control. We've got three more songs to sing as we enjoy this Christmas period and we share the love that Christ has given to us, that God has given to us, and as we respond to the love of God. Thank you.
Thank you, Pulani, for a wonderful sermon and a challenging one as well. Because God is the epitome of love. And the question is like, what is our response? Because all those various people, shepherds, wise men, they all responded in various ways. As we celebrate Christmas, may we ask God, God, how do you want me to respond to your greatest love for your birth on this earth? And let's respond as God would lead us to. As we sing the next few songs, let's be thoughtful and mindful of that and through the rest of the season as well.
Yeah.
Sing the last song, come and join the celebration.
Thank you for the celebration, and as we come to the close of this service, shall we share the words of the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. We end the service here.